So Carl Timmerman, listen to Solomon. But Elijah did not make a difference, except for in one key element. And by the way, here's one of the problems I have when I preach through 1 Kings. It's the fact that you also have to go over to 2 Chronicles. You go through that for more information about the same thing. And so you have to always combine it and go back and forth. Just like when you preach through the Gospels, right? You have to look at all the Gospels telling the same story, so much is different between Luke and the rest of Matthew. So you pick it up here in chapter 15, verse 1. It says, now in the 18th year of King Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, reigned Abijah over Judah. 3 years reigned King in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Maaca, the daughter of Abijah. And he walked in all his the sins of his fathers, which he had done before him. His heart was not perfect with the Lord his God, as the heart of David his father in Jerusalem. In the Jerusalem, nevertheless, David, for David's sake, God, our Lord God, did not give him a lamp in Jerusalem, but set up his son after him, and to establish Jerusalem, because David did that which was right in the eyes of the Lord, and turn out his life from anything that he commanded all the days of his life, save for, and only for the matter of Uriah the Hittite. And there was war between Rehoboam and Jeroboam all the days of his life. Now the rest of the acts of Abijah and all that he did, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the Kings of Judah? There was war between Abijah and Jeroboam. Abijah slept with his fathers, and they married him in the city of David, and Asa his son reigned in his stead. Now, several things I want to note here as we go through this passage. First of all, after Rehoboam died, his son, I put it as Abijah, but it's Abijah. Abijah is a different guy. Abijah reigned only 3 years. Jeroboam, who reigned 22 years, lived 4 more years beyond the death of Abijah. Now, one of the complicated, if you're not a person who loves details, first case is kind of tough to go through because you have this king and you did, and this king is also reigning at the same time up here in Israel. And by the way, this king happens to reign in Israel, there's a prophet who comes into it, so it gets really kind of messed up. So you don't have to. There's only like 3 or 4 kings that they really emphasize. In fact, there's some kings like the Timurian, and I'm ready to have like 3 verses. It moves on, And so here we have the key point is Abijah continues sin. So that's the key phrase, Abijah continues sin to the son. They did all the things that Rehoboam did. He did not reign after the pattern of David, who obeyed God. By the way, he knows that the Lord says, as you see this in the First Chronicles 2, except for his own Uriah, which is a pretty big thing, right? Because you don't see when Uriah had all this stuff that's going on. David did everything that he's supposed to do except for the pattern. The key to that was, he repented, right? He repented the Lord from the evil, so there's a key to that. Now, the short reign may have been a punishment. He was so wicked, the Lord took the blood. See this also with Manasseh's son, and he reigns 2 years of what he's gone. We'll see that later on. Now, we have a confusion here in most of your texts with Maaca, who was the daughter of Bathsheba. It's my father, because peace is what the word Bathsheba means. Abijah's mom, it's his favorite wife of Rehoboam, who only 18 was, and 65 years. How many compare to Solomon that's 50 years? And 18 wives and 65 wives from the 2 Chronicles chapter 11. Well, the 2 Chronicles has a lot more detail than what the 1 Kings passage is. And two wives, when you want to know about her in 2 Chronicles chapter 11, that she Thank you. Destroy the descendants of Abraham. Where's the
exactly what's predicted in Revelation, what's predicted in the book of Daniel. And so, we come here, much of our blessing is because of what the Lord has promised and covenanted with people before us. And let me tell you something else, this is a very important concept. Temporal blessings does not necessarily translate to eternal blessings. God can give you grace, but unless you come to Jesus Christ, that won't transfer into eternal grace. So just because God saved Abijah with his army right now in this battle doesn't mean that this guy has spiritual blessings. That he might, because he had to make a personal commitment to God. And so, just because in the world, you know, God blessed me, there's this common grace. Romans 2 talks about that. It says, oh God, don't you know that you receive the grace of God so you might know the love of God? That's towards you, right? It's not because he's happy with what you're doing, like he's trying to draw you to himself. And so, here we have this advisor, like Rehoboam, like Solomon, that's why he keeps going back and talking about David, except for the Bathsheba thing. That David, it says, he already had his example, he was out of experience. And that's why, you know, that's amazing to me over the years that I've done counseling for over 40 years now. That when I say, well, did it ever occur to you that how you were raised was not right in these things? The thought had never crossed your mind. It was amazing to me when I went to college and I was at the University of Maryland. And the professors would say the dumbest things. The students would just look. Oh, wow, he's a PhD, he's everything. I said, no, I don't know what he just said. It's really stupid. You know? Matter of fact, I said one of the most horrendous things is when very smart people say very dumb things. I've heard scriptures talk about it, think themselves wise, say, become fools. And so, the number one professor I had a little discussion with for dealing with Jesus says, how can Moses write all these things, you know, when that was before the Hebrew writing developed? I didn't know all the facts of time. I knew one that said, well, I said he was raised in the court of Egypt with all his learning. Discovered he was writing in the copper mines in southern Sinai that predated Moses. And then it discovered a couple of tablets, and it was open to offer them like history and archaeology degree. But you see, they did these foolish assumptions, and that the people, one of the things they had told me is the students in there would not do that. Research, they just accept, and that's why they believe some very dumb things. And that's the people who are voting up to the other people who are in office today. It's the people who have been taught, paying lots of money, but are very dumb things. But here you have Abijah, you have Rehoboam, some they clearly followed the example of David and did not. Now, Abijah's son Asa, he could have followed righteousness, but Asa becomes a righteous king. You know, it seems to me that Asa probably pulled up short and said, wow, God's really doing some very dumb things. And look what happened to him. I think I will follow the Lord. And I kind of suspect, just like Jonathan, Saul's son, that maybe he had a godly mother. Was teaching him something. So, you know, what God's doing, I'm just not right. And I need to follow that direction. Now, one of the verses I use constantly in counseling is Ezekiel 18:20. And he says this, the soul is sinned, shall die. The son is not responsible for the father's sins, nor is the father responsible for criticizes, but the righteousness of the righteous is on him, and the wickedness of the wicked is on him. In other words, you don't have to follow the example of your parents if you're not going around. And it goes towards the opposite. If mom is trying to raise this son right, and he goes off the rail, she did what was right. He made the what? He made the choice whether to go off the rail. Each one has had a choice, right? And we can choose. That's why, you know, one of the great passages in the Old Testament dealing with this is found in 1 Kings 18, where Elijah tells people, choose the thing you're going to serve, right? And if God's not serving you, God's not serving you, but you can't do it. You can't do both. Because our God is a jealous God. So, whenever we come to this point, this is the way I was raised. That is a lame excuse. And by the way, it's also very lazy. Well, you know what? The Lord's given you a new liver. He's given you the ability to learn. He's given you the ability to look at examples. And most of us have given the ability to read the Bible. Dad was wrong. I mean, that's a revelation. But he's not. You know, he's dead. You know, he found out he's not going to sell the box. To a kid, the dogs must be what? Must be infallible and everything. Well, it's not true. Once I discovered that, that was opened a lot of doors. Because I discovered I knew my better look at these things. Not that I'm disrespecting Dad, or not that anything else, but I discovered that Dad was taught incorrectly as well. He was taught in his grandfather's taught incorrectly, so I'm following that. But we're responsible to find out what's not right and what is right, and to change those things that are wrong. But believe, and then turn around and do what? Right, teach it to the next generation. This is what's right. That's what Paul emphasized. We're going to talk about that in a moment in the 11 o'clock service. To Timothy, you've got to take those things, right, that you were taught and turn around, and you've got to teach us. And then you've got to turn around and teach them how to teach us. So that's all we're going to talk about. So that's the very thought that you learned from this time that we've been able to look at this passage and learn from what Abijah did and what others have done, and also learn.